Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida.
So the second ordinance of the church is the Lord's Supper that we have not covered yet. And we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 26. Again, if you're wondering, how do you know that this is pictorial? This is memorial. Well, 1 Corinthians 11, 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup," talking about observing the Lord's Supper, he says that Christ doth manifest his own body, transforming into that bread that you eat and the cup that you drink. No, that's not what it says. It says that you procure some sort of saving grace because, no, that's not what it says. He says, as often as you do, how often do we do it? Well, as often as you do, when you do this, you show the Lord's death till he comes. It is a picture. That's why we know it's pictorial. Well, how do we know it's memorial? Because Christ said, this do in remembrance of me. So that's where we get those truths. So it is a picture of what Jesus has done for us. Baptism as an ordinance was administered and should be administered strictly as means of identifying a saved individual as a follower of Christ. It is pictorial and it preaches, or it shows. That's what that word show means, is it preaches. It declares the message of Christ. The Lord's Supper is pictorial and memorial ordinance. And according to the verse we just read, it preaches or shows the message of Christ. We are to proclaim to the world through baptism the truth of Jesus Christ. And we are to remember, be reminded through the Lord's Supper about the truth of Christ and what he did for us. There is no saving power found in either of these ordinances. There is only saving power found by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, these ordinances scripturally are only available to those who are already saved to begin with. So anytime that you're thinking there's some kind of saving power within these things that man observes, you're already off the track because it's not open unless you have already been saved. These ordinances were left under the authority of the church, not under the authority of the most charismatic people that were on the face of the earth, or the people who would it was left under the authority of the Lord's church. He started during his own earthly ministry. So baptism should only be accepted and the Lord's Supper administrated when under the authority of a New Testament. Outside of that, there is no biblical place. There is no authority for thee to be accepted or administered. Then we get to discipline. So we pledge, and this is just me reminding you what you've promised to do, to uphold, and showing you in Scripture that these are not principles of man, but principles set forth by our Lord in his word. So discipline is the next one. We sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines. There is self-discipline for our own lives, and there is church discipline that's practiced corporately. And self-discipline can be twofold. There can be a negative sense to it, and there can be a positive sense. Negatively, self-discipline is avoiding certain things, keeping one's body and passions under control or under the proper bonds. We bring them subject unto Christ. That is the negative connotation of discipline. We are staying away from certain things. You can look at, I'll give you these references. Time will not allow us to read the passages, but 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 27. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 25, 27 through 29, really that whole passage there. But if you're wanting to highlight specific verbatim topics there, you found it there in Scripture. So that self-discipline means that we abstain from, we avoid things like lying, cursing, stealing, and even the neglect of known positive Christian duties. James 4, 17, I believe, "To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." So we exercise that discipline over ourselves in that negative connotation to stay away from some certain things. And then there's a positive application for discipline as well. You know, when an athlete is trying to get stronger and he puts in the practice and the work for it, he's exercising discipline for the improvement of himself. He's not just staying away from bad foods, but he's eating good foods and good exercise So there's a positive discipline in our own self-life, and that is where we cultivate Christian values. Through our prayer life, through the reading of Scripture, Bible studies, fellowship with God's people, church attendance, church support, personal efforts of sharing the gospel. These are all great examples, again, of self-discipline, but in the positive sense. Church discipline, to which we pledge ourselves to support, to sustain, also means that one will help exercise removing the fellowshipping privileges from another who, and before we give these qualifications, may I remind you, the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everybody, for everyone. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter where they're going. It doesn't matter what they've done. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. The church, as biblically defined. Now, when you think church, we think this worship service, this building that we come into. And well, this is for church is for everybody. Come on in. That church is defined by Scripture, is not these buildings, not this roof, but it is the local body of believers covenant together to carry out the commands of Christ. Now, everyone may be welcome to come in and to witness what transpires, but make no mistake, church, by biblical definition, is not for everybody. We've outlined it. It's for people that have been saved, publicly professed that they know Christ as their Savior, and been scripturally baptized. It is a privilege, not a right. You are not entitled to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. And as such, these privileges, salvation cannot, will not be revoked regardless of what an individual does. It is a gift. The only thing you have to do is to accept it. And the Bible outlines the process for that. However, for church membership, one presents himself to the body. One is accepted. It's verified that he speaks the truth, that he has been baptized, he has been saved. And as such, these privileges can and scripturally should be revoked when an individual operates outside or against the interests of the church body. So please don't misunderstand. This is not the first step towards correcting a problem. The church's first step always, biblically, is reconciliation. However, and this is what we will see, if there's another who, having walked disorderly, refuses or declines from making amends to the church that he has injured with his misconduct as a member of that body, the Bible outlines the proper steps for church discipline towards that individual. There was one when Paul wrote to Corinth, they had to cast out because of a living situation. Later, we find he had turned away from that and the church received him again. He said, restore unto him this fellowship. It had been revoked because he was actively causing harm to that body of Christ. But when he turned, when he repented, and it wasn't just to, this isn't just about, you hurt my feelings. This is about you've done harm to the body as a whole because of the activities or whatever has transpired. And so you apologize to the body as a whole, and you are received back in that fellowship. That's biblically how it's outlined. However, the scriptures strictly command the exclusions of persons who willfully become a reproach to their church and persist in such a behavior. They will not correct it. They will not change it. So this is not done out of hatred or out of spite, but they have been addressed. It will not be fixed. And so the church as a whole is commanded to exclude them from those privileges of that church body until such time as they can be reconciled through that repentance back into the fold of that fellowship. You find this in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 11 through 12. As a matter of fact, Paul makes mention in these verses about not judging those, he's out, judge those that are without. He said, but those that are within, we ought to judge. We think, well, judge not that ye be not judged. Listen, you need to rightly divide the word of truth. You need to understand what Scripture means, what it says, so that you can live it out properly. And we are to be held accountable. As a matter of fact, I believe it was Peter that wrote, let judgment begin at the house of the Lord, here amongst ourselves.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious Word. Well, from now until tomorrow, May God bless you richly, is our prayer.